that the Lord God created the universe. I believe that he sent his only son to die for my sins. And I believe that ancient Jews built boats and sailed to America. I am a Mormon, and a Mormon just believes. You cannot just believe.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. Joining us now is Peter Zuckerman, who is a nonfiction writer and journalist. He has reported for The Oregonian, the Idaho Falls Post-Register, on child sexual abuse within the Boy Scouts of America organization. In 2005, Zuckerman won the Livingston Award for his six-part series published in the Post-Register titled Scouts Honor, as well as the Scripps Howard Foundation's National Journalism Award and the Blethyn Award for the Best Journalism in the Northwest. He has been profiled in a PBS documentary in a small town and has come under attack for his reporting on the Boy Scouts of America and the Mormon Church, the Church of the Latter-day Saints. He's currently on tour with his new book, Buried in the Sky, co-written with Amanda Padoin, which tells a true story of the 2008 K2 disaster from the perspective of Sherpas and Pakistani high-altitude porters. Welcome to Background Briefing, Peter Zuckerman.
Thank you for having me here.
And the Oregon Supreme Court on Thursday approved the release of 20,000 pages of so-called perversion files that the Boy Scouts of America were holding on suspected child molesters within the organization for more than 20 years. These files were gathered from 1965 to 1985, and they came to light as evidence in a landmark Oregon lawsuit in 2010, in which the jury were awarded an $18.5 million judgment to a man who was molested by a scoutmaster in the Boy Scouts. Now, I understand back in that trial, in the lawsuit in 2010, the plaintiffs, members of the Boy Scouts who were molested, they also sued the Mormon Church. So what is the relationship between the Boy Scouts of America and the Mormon Church?
The Boy Scouts of America has been the official men's program of the Mormon Church since the early 1900s. Nearly every young man who is a Mormon also goes through the Boy Scouts program, and there are a whole men who are Eagle Scouts. It's very common, and that is what every Mormon boy is supposed to do. Almost every Boy Scout troop is associated with an organization, usually a religious organization, and a large percentage, the most recent numbers I was able to get, a third to a quarter of Boy Scout troops are associated with a specific Mormon organization, like the Mormon equivalent of a church.
So can you say then that the Mormon Church have taken over the Boy Scouts, or were they always a part of it? I mean, what's...
I don't think you could say the Mormon Church has taken over the Boy Scouts. I could say that the Mormon Church has probably more influence over the Boy Scouts than any other single organization, but they don't have exclusive control over the Boy Scouts.
Well, in this lawsuit, going back in 2010, when the secret files that were compiled, these 20,000 pages of the so-called perversion files within the Boy Scouts of America, in the lawsuit, the plaintiffs also sued the Mormon Church along with the Boy Scouts of America. And apparently the Mormon Church settled early. So do you know anything about that 2010 case that involved a scoutmaster, Timur Dykes, who was associated with this other assistant scoutmaster, Kerry Lewis, who was the victim of the child sex abuse? And he, along with, I believe, 17 other boys, sued. Why did the Mormon Church settle?
That is very typical of the Mormon Church cases. The Mormon Church in child abuse cases almost always settles very, very quickly. It's almost always their strategy. The assumption is that they don't want the bad press that is associated with the case of getting a lot of media if it goes to trial or if it just continues on. They would argue that when they're victims in these sort of cases, and they can tell that those cases should just be resolved quickly because that's the easier way to do it.
Again, this just this Thursday, the Oregon Supreme Court approved the release of these 20,000 pages of the so-called perversion files that have been kept under wraps by the Boy Scouts of America. A number of media organizations, including the Associated Press, the Oregonian, the New York Times, Oregon Public Broadcasting, etc., sued. What's in these files and why have they been covered up? Why have the Boy Scouts of America sat on these files? And a separate court case got a glimpse of them back in 2010. And now the Oregon Supreme Court has and by the way, they haven't been released yet, right? So what's the current status of these files and why are the Boy Scouts sitting on this information?
These files, which I actually have seen an earlier version of them, they constitute the largest record of child abuse ever documented in the world. If you were to get the entire files, they would fill up a small room. The version of them that I've seen is tens of thousands of pages. The Boy Scouts have been collecting them nearly since the inception of the program. The Boy Scouts have always been a magnet for people who want to abuse kids. I mean, if you are a child molester, sort of the ideal place to abuse kids is getting them alone in the woods, and the Boy Scouts tend to go camping, and usually the child molesters, as described in the files, tend to be associated with camping trips. The files have gone by different names over the years. In the 1930s, they were called, I believe, the Red Files. More recently, they've been called the Confidential Files. They've gone through various iterations, and they usually entail a form in the beginning that is kept pretty similar among the different files, and that gives us a really short briefing of what happened. And then there is a dossier that gives background information on the Boy Scout leader who has been kicked out. And the information in the files really varies a lot from, you know, horrible incidences where, you know, many children have been raped at gunpoint to incidences where, you know, there were two children making out with each other and the Boy Scouts were trying to figure out which was the victim and which was the perpetrator. But it, you know, to me, seems like it was just kids doing what kids do. And then the files also, in some cases, detail how the Boy Scouts responded to the individual cases. But this is very interesting to lawyers, especially for victims, because the lawyers can use it as evidence that the Boy Scouts did not respond appropriately. And then just from my surveying of reading, you know, probably a couple thousand of these, I would say that the biggest pattern you see is that the files, as they get more recent, get less descriptive, and that the Boy Scouts seem to do a better job handling the cases, that they more often go straight to police instead of trying to keep it under wraps, although it does seem to vary a bit between the various Boy Scout councils.
Well, Peter Zuckerman, you can't help feeling that there's a sort of we've seen this bad movie before with the Catholic Church, it's the pedophilia amongst the priesthood and the enormous payouts that have gone on there. And there's also, of course, echoes of the current trial of Sandusky at Penn State, where his MO seems to be similar in the sense that you say the Boy Scouts of America has attracted these molesters because they have access to boys. And, of course, in Sandusky's case, he even formed a charity to deal with wayward youth in order to be able to capture these kids and control them. Why would that? Again, I don't understand how. The Boy Scouts of America are in the midst of now deciding whether or not to overturn their ban on having gay members who are being kicked out, as well as gay and lesbian scoutmasters who have been purged. One of the heads of the Boy Scouts and a member of the board, who's the chief executive of Ernst & Young, James Turley, has called upon one of his fellow board members, the AT&T chairman and chief executive, Randall Stephenson, to join with him in removing this ban on gays. So walk us through this kind of confusion here. On the one hand, they banning gay scout masters and gay and lesbian kids in the scouts, but on the other hand, they're keeping secret files of child molesters.
In my opinion, that makes no sense at all. I mean, I'm gay, and reading through these files, I was particularly attuned to cases where the Boy Scouts were kicking out scout masters just for being gay, who clearly seemed like good scout masters. And my impression in the files is that the scouts historically have had a lot of confusion and don't quite understand that that gay people are not child molesters. They're separate. Those are separate animals. And so that they just kind of lumped them together. I think it's also that they're so closely associated with the Mormon church and also with other conservative churches that are against gay people that they just aren't going to allow them in. They see gay people as a threat to children, which is really ridiculous and really, really just an ironic program for them to have, where they're kicking out gay people allegedly to protect children, but at the same time keeping files secret that would make children safer. And I mean, their child protection policies have definitely had a history of problems. The man who was in charge of child protection for all of the Boy Scouts, Sobran Smith, a few years ago was arrested for child pornography and convicted of it. It's not a logical position for them to have. If the number one goal is to protect children, I feel like the files should be made open to the public, because that would improve the programs that they have to protect children. They would allow experts to scrutinize what's done, and it would allow other organizations to also learn from the errors and from the successes of keeping child molesters out of the Boy Scouts.
So, Peter Zuckerman, the obviously another reason why this story has got my attention is because, of course, we have a prominent Mormon running for president of the United States. He was a Mormon bishop and a stake president, and the Mormon Church has made it taken a very clear stance of being against homosexuality, and they funded Proposition 8 here in California. And they were sued in this Boy Scout case back in 2010 in Oregon, along with the Boy Scouts of America. And as you've mentioned, a lot of the Boy Scouts are parts of the Mormon Church. And in the case of this troop in Oregon that was sued, it was operated through the Mormon Church, and they settled early. What is this? Is there any way that this is any kind of reflection on the Mormon Church, the secrecy involved?
I think that the policies of the Boy Scouts in with dealing with children and with gays and with child molesters, the policies of the Boy Scouts and in the church are very, very similar, if not identical, just because the Boy Scouts is the official men's program of the Mormon Church. And that, you know, anybody who was brought up with the Mormons is very likely, and I believe this is the case with Romney, was brought up in the Boy Scouts with those values, including those values towards gay people, where in the Boy Scouts, I mean, the Boy Scouts have the legal right to discriminate against gays, but historically speaking, they have not at all been gay-friendly. And they've just associated gay people with people who abuse children. And, I mean, does Romney believe that? I think probably not, but it's very likely that he was brought up that way, with that sort of value. And, you know, it's hard to get into the guy's head. But, I mean, that's just wrong. There is not an association. Gay people are just as good at raising children as straight people are. And it's horribly offensive for group gay people and child abusers together.
Well, it's just it's very strange that an organization, on the one hand, would ban gays, on the other hand, would cover up child molesters in the sense that it's buried these files. Now, did it ever act on all the people that were in these files? Did the Boy Scouts of America and the Mormon Church purge these people? I mean, it seems to have taken a lawsuit in Oregon back in 2010, where a number of scouts sued both the Mormon Church and the Boy Scouts of America because they were molested, and they were awarded $18.5 million. And this guy, Tim O'Dyke, the scoutmaster, was a serial molester. He'd molested 17 boys. So tell us about, since you covered that and you've written about it and won the Livingston Award for your six-part series published in the Idaho Falls Post Register, titled Scouts Honor, as well as the Scripps Howard Foundation's National Journalism Award for your work on this. And of course, this week, the Oregon Supreme Court approved the release of these secret files, these 20,000 pages. So is this a case of, in the Catholic Church, where they sort of paid off the victims and kept it quiet, or did they act upon these files?
The truth is all of the above. The number of cases of the Boy Scouts appears to be much larger than the number of cases in the Catholic Church when you look at the whole record. But it's hard to compare, of course, because the Boy Scouts could have just been better at documenting it. With the Scouts, the confidential files tend to only show the people that they did kick out, so we don't really know as much about the people who were not kicked out. But that said, a lot of the people that they did kick out managed to get back into the Boy Scouts, and you can argue that that's because the Boy Scouts were not vigilant enough in keeping them out. Some of the cases are just horrendous. In one of the cases in Idaho Falls that I covered, a man allegedly raped some children at gunpoint. He moved away. He was convicted of raping a kid at gunpoint. He was put in prison. Then he got out and he moved back to Idaho and he rejoined the Boy Scouts. In another case, the guy was allowed to stay in the Boy Scouts despite the Boy Scouts receiving written letters from parents saying this guy is a threat to children, or this guy has abused children. And those were really awful cases. But then that said, I think it really depends on the Boy Scout Council. Other councils were more responsible than some. And so it's part of it is just the luck of the draw. And a lot of these cases are that the worst cases that I read were the earlier ones, which as early as I've read it, from the late 1960s to the to about 1992 is the records that I've seen. And the earlier the cases, it tended to be the more egregiously they were handled, in my opinion. And that, honestly, the Boy Scouts child protection policies have improved quite a bit. I don't think they're perfect, but they do things like have background checks on the scoutmasters, which was, a rather recent thing for them to do. And in their eyes, it was a very expensive thing to do. Clearly well worth it.
Well, just in closing, Peter Zuckerman, the Oregon Supreme Court on Thursday approved the release of these 20,000 pages of the so-called perversion files compiled by the Boy Scouts of America. And of course, a lot of media companies, including the New York Times, Associated Press, and the Oregon Public Broadcasting, and the Oregonian sued. Will there be another injunction filed by the Boy Scouts? Or will we be seeing these files, in other words?
The Boy Scouts will fight it tooth and nail, and it's honestly too hard to tell. But I can say that if the papers lose, if they ask the right lawyers and they go to the right place, they can actually get a version of the files. The files were released once before, I believe in 1992, for a while, and some people got copies of them. It's tens of thousands of pages, but this grouping of files may be different because the entire record was at one point much bigger, but they purged a lot from it. So the information about what's in those files is actually available. You just really have to dig to get it. And I really think this information should be made easily available to the public because it will help protect children.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Peter Zuckerman. Again, Peter Zuckerman's a nonfiction writer and journalist. He has been reporting for the Oregonian and the Idaho Falls Post Register on child sexual abuse within the Boy Scouts organization. In 2005, he won the Livingston Award for his six-part series published in the Post Register titled Scouts Honor, as well as the Scripps Howard Foundation's National Journalism Award and the Blethyn Award for the best journalism in the Northwest. He has been profiled in a PBS documentary In a Small Town and has come under attack for his reporting on the Boy Scouts of America and the Mormon Church, Church of the Latter-day Saints. He's currently on tour with his new book, Buried in the Sky, co-written with Amanda Tapadouin, which tells a true story of the 2008 K2 disaster from the perspective of Sherpas and Pakistani high-altitude porters. And this has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Chris Scheid. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.
They don't talk about the home of the brave and this land here under the free. What time?